Hi, this is Betty, and I'm at El Tapatio in Lakeview, and you're listening to Outside the Loop, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Thank you very much. Yes, welcome to Outside the Loop. This is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am Mike Steven. This is show number 774, and what we do here on this show is take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. You can always say hello online. You know the drill. Twitter at Outside the Loop, Facebook, Instagram, and download the podcast of this program for free. And if you subscribe, it gets delivered to your device. You don't even have to worry about it. Every week, it'll pop up on your device. And you can get all the audio archives through OutsideTheLoopRadio.com or WGNRadio.com. So many ways to consume the show. And Bob Ferguson is our engineer in the studio today. And Colin Seaman is the producer of the show. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning, Mike.
So, you're a fan of public transportation, right?
Yes.
So, we know that school is pretty soon back in session for just about everybody. The next, some students have already gone back. Some students, I know CPS is going back at the end of August. I believe it's August 30th. Am I right?
Correct. The first day of school is August 30th, Monday, August 30th. That's the first day of school, Chicago.
There you go. So, hey, if you're a child in Chicago right now and you're hearing this, August 30th is the day. Now,
one good morning. I can't believe you're awake right now. If you're a kid, good morning. You are an early riser. Actually, I can believe that you're awake right now because you kids, you do get up this early and you come say hi to mom and dad. Well, you know what? School's coming for you. August 30th, Monday. School coming for you.
It's going to get you. It's going to get you.
School's going to make you tired.
That's right.
You've been running around all summer. I know. Waking up mom and dad way too early.
But if you're a high school student, if you're a teenager, there's no way you're listening live right now. You'll catch this on the podcast for sure.
They just went to sleep, actually. They probably passed out at 4 a.m. and they won't be up again until 1 p.m.
They were playing Fortnite and watching YouTube or something all night.
Twitch.
That's right. Twitch is the new one, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So this year, the Chicago Public Schools, like we talked about, going back August 30th, the Chicago Transit Authority, the good old CTA, once again, will have all Chicagoland school children able to ride the system for free on the first day, on August 30th, thanks to a corporate sponsorship. Now, that's pretty cool. They've done that before, and I love that idea. Now, our friend over at Streets Blog Chicago, John Greenfield, he's been on this show many times. He wrote a recent piece, Colin. Now, you are from San Francisco, so I think this is for you here, okay? Listen up. How do you say it? Is it the Muni? Am I saying that right?
Correct. It's Muni. Yep.
Okay. The San Francisco Muni Transit System, they're launching a year-long pilot of free rides for all children, made possible from an investment from city government. How cool is that? So kids get to ride public transportation in San Francisco for free all year. That's awesome.
Should have never left.
But look where you are now.
No, I'm in a great city. Yeah, that's great. Hey, Chicago, what do you say?
I know, right?
Let's let the kids ride free today.
Hey, look, it's like almost like poetry there. John Greenfield says that Chicago should follow suit. I agree. I mean, I know we've got all kinds of money issues, but to get students into the classroom across the age range, I mean, to get kids riding public transportation for free, that's great. You know, to break down any barriers that kids have to get to the classroom, I'm all for it. So he wrote a piece on this, again, up at chi.streetsblog.org, and he's arguing that, hey, Chicago should do the same thing, you know? It's I think it's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah. It was budget week, wasn't it, this week?
Yeah, and there's a shortfall, but, you know.
It's less than the year before.
That's right. Half full. Glass half full.
Yeah, maybe we could pay for it. Let's get a, what are the kids using these days?
Twitch. Maybe Twitch could sponsor it.
No, well, maybe they could find sponsorship. I was just talking about what are the crowdsourcing funding sites. I don't know what's cool anymore.
I know it's not indie. Is it Indiegogo? Is that still a thing?
I feel like that's gone. Kickstarter's like people don't. Do they still use? I don't know.
GoFundMe.
I don't know.
Okay.
GoFund the kids riding the train.
GoFund the GoFund.kids. We'll put a little Chicago spin. DA.
How about this Chicago? Do you want the kids like jumping on the little scooters? You want them like zipping through the busy streets on limes, or do you want them like nice and safe on a bus?
Just not the Chicago bus because, you know, there's some weirdos on there.
I love the Chicago bus. It's one of the best bus lines.
I know. It's got its own funk. All right. Point is, kids should ride for free. Let's make it happen, Chicago. Maybe we'll start a petition through the GoFundMe you account through Outside the Loop. We have to get one of those.
Get some of those... those federal dollars are probably coming our way, right?
Infrastructure baby.
Right. Go city council votorama. Let's go.
Let's do it. We've got a great show for you today. We'll talk a little bit about industrial real estate. Julian Daniel, local musician, will be with us. And Secret History of Chicago Music, talking about a very cool punk band from the 1980s called The Veil. Stay tuned. Jump on the good old 66 Chicago bus. Don't mind the guy next to you. Despite the not-so-good news about the uptick in the COVID Delta variant case numbers, at least we have this good news. The Chicago area is currently seeing a 20-year record low industrial vacancy. AJ LaTrace wrote about this recently in a publication called RE Journals. It's a publication all about commercial real estate. He is the editor at RE Journals. The website, rejournals.com. AJ, welcome back to Outside the Loop. Nice to talk to you again.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me back.
You are quite welcome. We'll talk about the industrial issue here, but there's lots to talk about in real estate in Chicago. And so I said that this is good news. This record low, this 20-year record low industrial vacancy in Chicago, that is good news, right?
Absolutely. You know, and it's definitely a contrast to the news that we've seen and previously discussed about what's going on in the, you know, specifically the downtown office market and retail, which, as we all know, you know, office workers have all been staying home for at least for most of last year. Some folks have already returned, and then there was discussion about returning around Labor Day, and that's still to be seen, depending on what's going on with current case numbers. But in terms of the industrial sector, so specifically industrial includes all things like warehousing, distribution, manufacturing, anything of that sort, mm-hmm. falls under the industrial umbrella. And it's been going so strong in the last year and a half that we're actually seeing a 20-year record low vacancy, specifically in the Chicago region right now.
Why do you think that is? I mean, we're in such a kooky time here. You know, we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
But in this pandemic, you know, up is down, left is right. Why do you think we're seeing this record low when it comes to industrial vacancy in the Chicagoland area?
The main driver is e-commerce and everything that goes into e-commerce. So, you know, for example, Amazon has, you know, really dominated the news when it comes to logistics and distribution. And, you know, they've done a number of big deals in the Chicago area. But, you know, they're not the only one. There was also a pretty big deal cut recently in the last few months with Wayfair, which is a another online retailer, and they do furniture. And then Home Depot also has announced a big industrial facility within the city of Chicago. But then you think about all the other aspects that go into e-commerce. So, you know, suppliers and different independent logistics companies and things of that sort. But, you know, one of the reasons why developers are so bullish on industrial at the moment is that when you kind of zoom out and you take a look at overall e-commerce sales, there's still maybe around 20% of total global sales. And then within the United States, it's even lower than that. So, you know, we're really still just kind of scratching the surface on how big e-commerce will eventually be in the coming years. And so, you know, Amazon and others are going to need more last mile distribution space close to cities, close to, you know, population density. And, you know, there's even been some manufacturing coming back as well. One of the other big deals this year was a Canadian company called Lion Electric. They're going to be a electric school bus manufacturer, and they're opening a big facility in Joliet.
And, you know, this kind of ties into another aspect of real estate that you've been writing about, how, you know, here's industry, this industrial stuff is really hot, but renting, in terms of the rent is going up, real estate prices are going up. It just seems like everything is kind of booming, on fire right now when it comes to real estate.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing when you think about what happened in the last recession, where, you know, real estate is what, you know, is one of the things that really dragged our economy down. And, you know, in this recession, you know, yeah, the various different asset classes. So, you know, residential stuff, you look at what's happening in the city, you know, single family homes are, you know, getting multiple bids and prices are way up. And then you look at the industrial stuff and it's like developers can't build it fast enough. But, you know, there's a couple that have really been struggling. You know, one of them is, you know, hotel and hospitality.
Yeah.
You know, it's still kind of hard to say what's going to happen in the next year or two. But, you know, there are some investors who have an appetite to take on the riskier stuff like that. And, you know, potentially they'll be handsomely rewarded, say tourism comes back and the hotel industry comes roaring back. And, you know, so we'll have to wait and see.
Is that the biggest or one of the biggest, this hospitality industry, one of the biggest challenges that we have when we look at real estate right now going forward? I mean, we don't know how this year, a year from now, how things are going to unfold. I feel like the pandemic is throwing us for a loop weekly. But in terms of the challenges here, what do you think is the challenge, or, you know, one of the biggest challenges going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, hospitality and hotel is certainly challenged right now. You know, the sort of flip side of the story to industrial is that, you know, you look at how strong e-commerce is doing, but then at the same time, you know, sort of your brick and mortar shopping centers are really struggling. You know, just the other week I was kind of going through the Southwest suburbs around like Melrose Park, and there's just empty big box stores and empty shopping centers. And so, you know, the pandemic certainly was a boost in e-commerce sales and, you know, pushing people maybe over the fence who had been, you know, unsure about, you know, purchasing online and things of that sort. So industrial has been the winner in that sense, but then the loser has been your kind of traditional shopping center, brick and mortar store. You know, within the city, you know, retail has kind of, it's always been maybe a little bit uncertain, especially, you know, for example, when, you know, like, let's say like Wicker Park or kind of the trendier gentrified neighborhoods, like when they emptied out, then, you know, retail kind of followed. But, you know, as soon as people are moving back and then you see, you know, bars and restaurants opening back up, and then in the city, you know, retail is certainly going to be more service oriented versus, you know, tangible goods. So yeah, to sort of answer the question is, you know, hospitality certainly is one of them. Retail is the other one. And then, you know, downtown office, the office market, we're going to have to see, you know, what ends up happening, if people are going to be going back to the office after Labor Day or not.
Well, stay tuned, because Boy, this stuff does unfold every week. And I know when we talk about real estate, there's always stuff to talk about. And especially as it relates to this pandemic and its impact on real estate. AJ LaTrace is the editor at RE Journals. It's a publication focusing on commercial real estate. They do a lot of really great reporting on this topic locally. REJournals.com. Check out what AJ and everyone is writing over there at RE Journals. AJ, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And thanks for giving us some time today.
Likewise. Thanks again, Mike.
This Friday, August 20th, you can head on over to Shuba's at the corner of Belmont and Southport, a great venue to hear and see local music, especially local musician Julian Daniel. He is releasing his new EP that day. It's called Only Words, and he is here with us on Outside the Loop today. Julian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You are quite welcome, and you sounded really good. Your website, we should mention, juliandanielmusic.com. That's Daniel with two L's, juliandanielmusic.com. But you've had quite the journey. As I understand it, you are originally from Colorado. What brought you to Chicago?
I'm from Colorado. I moved out here to go to music school at Columbia College. Mm-hmm. And to try to get as far away from my family as possible.
that's very rock and roll of you, yeah.
I guess. yeah, and I actually, I like auditioned for the school on drums, and I studied drums while I was there. And then my senior year, I met another songwriter who was like, "Hey, your songs are like really good. We should start a band." And then after I kind of hashed that band out, I was like, well, I'm going to continue to write songs. So I need to release my own album and make my own band to keep it going.
So that's what you're doing here. Now, you said you're originally a drummer, but you're not playing drums right now, as I understand it. You're playing guitar?
Yeah, well, in my own group, I play piano and guitar because that's what I write on. Mm-hmm. And then I sing with those. But I do play around town playing drums still. Kind of like an ADHD musician. I just kind of can't find one path. I just kind of like move around.
That's important, though. I mean, to make yourself, we'll call that versatile, right? I mean, you can do different things, which makes you, somewhat in demand when it comes to playing around town. And your sound with your music that you are writing these days, and again, your new EP is coming out on August 20th. It's called Only Words. But your sound is very much in that vein of, folk rock, sort of Americana. How did you develop that sound that we're hearing?
Well, ever since I've written songs, they've always come out as folk songs, since the beginning, even though I wasn't really a huge listener or devout fan of folk music. Mm-hmm. I love Bob Dylan and everything, but I think it's just that's just what came out. And then over the years, as I've been writing, it's kind of taken more influences from George Harrison and Paul McCartney's music and some other, some soul music, Bobby Womack is probably my favorite artist of all time.
Sure.
But so it's kind of like a blend of all that stuff. Like, it's got roots in folk, and then it's got some psychedelia rock and roll kind of thing, and some soul in there too. I wanna see the look someday on my little baby's faces.
In that sort of folk tradition, it's nice because, it's not overproduced. I mean, what's on the track, it doesn't feel like there are 30,000 overdubs going on or all kinds of effects. It's very much straightforward, which I think is refreshing, actually, these days.
Well, I think I appreciate you saying that. I'm probably one of those people that's really annoying to talk about music with, because I'm like, I have very strong opinions about what I don't like, and I definitely don't like overproduction, and I don't like when, you know, the bass drum sounds like a quarter being hammered with a hammer, and like so yeah, it was all very specific and deliberate the way I wanted it to go, and I had a really good producer that helped me out, Andrew Christopoulos at Sound Vault Studios.
And so what's coming up here, we're celebrating the release of this EP, again, by Julian Daniel. It's called Only Words, Friday, August 20th, over at Shuba's, Belmont and Southport, right on the corner there. A legendary venue here in Chicago. You are playing a show at 8 p.m. Of course, if you're vaccinated, make sure you bring your proof of vaccination. If you're not vaccinated, what are you doing? Get vaccinated so you can go see Julian Daniel. But tell us about the show coming up.
The show coming up is going to be the biggest show I've ever played so far, and it's a 6-piece band. So I've got everything on the record. I've got all the instruments represented. I've got 2 backup singers, and I've got lead guitar, drums, bass, piano, everything happening. So it's the biggest iteration of the live band so far.
That's awesome. Again, this Friday, August 20th at Shuba's in Chicago. That's an 8 p.m. show. Make sure you bring your proof of vaccination. You know, playing in Chicago, and it's nice to be able to say that again, because we've gone through many months of our stages being dark, but, you know, you've been playing in Chicago now for a little while. But what's remarkable, I think, about playing in Chicago is that you can sort of carve out, you know, if it's folk or folk rock or Americana, you know, there's a place for that. I feel like it's a very supportive sort of music scene here when it comes to whatever genre. But I think it's nice that you can carve out a space, because that folk, that, you know, Americana community is really strong here.
I mean, it's a really great community. There's a lot of different stuff going on. A lot of my favorite local Chicago bands are like really heavy groups, though. I think I've met probably a handful of, you know, like the kind of finger pickers and folky songwriters, but I'm sure they're out there. I'm looking forward to meeting more of them.
Yeah, they are definitely out there. There's a lot to explore in the Chicago music scene for sure. And again, we want to remind everyone that Friday, August 20th, Julian Daniel is celebrating his new EP. The release of this EP, it's called Only Words, and you can check out juliandanielmusic.com. That's Daniel with 2 L's. The EP release show at Shuba's at Belmont and Southport in Chicago, Friday, 8 p.m., August 20th. Julian Daniel, local musician, best of luck with everything, man, and thanks for talking to us today.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
Occasionally in the Chicago Reader, you will see the column, The Secret History of Chicago Music. It is hand-drawn by local musician, music historian, and artist Plastic Crime Wave. He's also known as Steve Krakow. This strip profiles a local musician or a band who never quite made it to the big time. So right now, let's dim those lights. Let's fire up the old hi-fi as we travel to Chicago's Ukrainian Village neighborhood and enter
The Secret History of Chicago Music.
Yes, dialing up, connecting across town to the lair of an apartment of one Mr. Steve Krakow, also known as Plastic Crime Wave. And Steve, this week we are jamming some tunes from Chicago's very own The Veil. They have some good songs. I dig these tunes.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bittersweet one this week, because great band, great tunes by, you know, a sort of posthumous band that can never be again, you know, so always a little bittersweet, but the music is what is eternal, and it's amazing stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And this band, again, The Veil, they were coming up in the 1980s here in Chicago, and really, like, this story, I mean, it's got everything. I mean, it's got, you know, your rock and roll, sort of classic rock and roll stories. You've got your tragedy in there. You've got the real high points. But this band, The Veil, really has roots in the early punk scene in Chicago, right?
Yeah. They tie into a long time back. I covered this band called Da. That sometimes this is an exclamation point, so I say it with a da.
Sure.
They were very integral to, like, the Chicago punk scene, and it was finally exposed a little bit more to the world. There was that cool doc that a friend of mine did called You Weren't There that was sort of about the whole Chicago punk scene, and they were covered in it, and I think it opened a lot of people's eyes because they were a little different. They weren't like your Naked Ray Gun and some of your more sort of aggro thing. They were almost sort of like a more British influenced sort of cold wave, they call it almost now punk, where, you know, it has this sort of detached arty quality to it versus, you know, pure aggression kind of punk. And the center of that band was Lorna Donnelly, who was a really great lady who I was very fortunate to meet because I did the strip on them, and she just had a really unique sort of perspective and flair. And then eventually in that band, this cool cat, David Thomas, ended up in the band and big part of Da. And he was sort of more schooled in like the MC5 and all these sort of 60s garage rock and all that kind of glam and all that kind of stuff. And he brought a lot to the band too. And then that band broke up, and that sort of brings us to the beginning of The Veil.
And The Veil, again, like I said, 1980s, and they broke up in 1989. And it's incredible because they never really released any music formally, but they have like cassettes that they made and they would sell at shows. And you can kind of find those cassettes maybe in thrift stores around the city.
Well, yeah, me and my editor sort of debated how we should word it because, yeah, you know, they made a cassette, they sold at shows, but then, you know, sort of the new release is like, you know, completely unreleased recordings, but it's, you know, the only way, yeah, you're going to find those cassettes is probably in people's collection. And actually the guy who, as you were saying with thrift stores, the guy who is releasing this, Eric Clements, he pretty much started a label to do this. He bought this huge collection of cassettes that were Dave Thomas's cassettes that he dumped, and there was like Velvet Underground and Stooges and everything cool on cassette in there. And then he's like, what are all these tapes by this band, The Veil? And there was even like demos and stuff, but I guess interestingly enough, Dave dropped that off and was like, maybe some archaeologists will find this, you know, and he pretty much willed it to be. When the hole inside your head comes down into the basement, scraping up your soul from the hot and sticky pavement. And the dreams you thought you'd see, you know, now they can never be. You talk a lot of stuff. So we need to talk about the center of The Veil. That is Lorna Donnelly. Tell us about this story, because this is kind of where the tragedy comes in. Yeah, she passed away really unexpectedly in 2013. And, you know, there was this momentum. It's sad when anyone goes, but I didn't realize it. But, you know, I curated a couple episodes of Chicagogo, long-running cable access TV show here.
Sure.
You know, it's a dance show, and they have bands come on and lip sync. So I was like, oh, I wonder if I could get the Doc Kids, and they did it, and they were like, wow. And then they started playing reunions. There was I think in 2010, a compilation came out of all the proper compilation of all the Da material. And her and Dave started talking about maybe releasing this material. But just, you know, obviously on a human level, too, she was just a really cool person who I looked up to and very, like, just unassuming. It's funny because my roommate knew her too, and he's like, I never knew she did music. She just was dating my friend and just kind of sat in a corner and read books, and I just had no idea. She was very humble, you know, and you see her playing and you're like, holy cow, she's this force of nature, you know, on stage. But just so, you know, she was like a librarian. I had another friend who worked with her in a library, funny enough, and was like, I never knew she did music either. She was just a real sweet, quiet kind of person, you know. And yeah, I think that described her. But she had good stories, of course, if you pressed her and everything. But yeah, just far too young and really unexpectedly.
That's really sad. But she was, again, at the center of The Veil. That's who we're talking about today. And, you know, in terms of how big this band got, I mean, they were, again, in the 1980s, and they were fairly popular, but they break up in 1989. I mean, the band ended too early, I feel like, and Lorna Donnelly, her life ended too early. You know, it's one of those stories where it's like, there was not a great, there was no next big chapter for this band.
No, it's sad because you hear it and the hooks are good. There's no reason, you know, I mean, there's an edge to it as well. I feel like it was probably everything, everyone, and they were playing some pretty big shows too. I mean, they opened for like Galaxy 500. I know this was one of their early shows and were playing pretty big venues. They had their moment, but now it's captured pretty sounding great on vinyl, and it's out. I guess out of sort of respect to Lorna, they've sort of now calling it like Lorna Donnelly and The Veil. But on nice pink, new wavy looking vinyl, it'll be in local stores and all around.
The band is The Veil, or now Lorna Donnelly and The Veil, but they sound really, really good. This band ended too early, but the music lives on. And Steve Krakow, the author of The Secret History of Chicago Music Strip, has the whole story. Go to chicagoreader.com to get the full story of The Veil. Steve, as always, thank you so much, and you keep rocking your power pop punky self.
Oh, speaking of, can I do a plug here?
Yeah.
So Secret History of Chicago Music has now become a sort of residency at the Hideout, and the first one is a live secret history experience. The first one is August 24th at 6 p.m. It's outdoors on their patio. This one's going to have a Chicago garage rock theme.
Nice.
And we're going to stick with 60s Chicago garage rock. And I recruited two good buds who are experts who DJ this stuff out all the time, known as Mo Madness. You know, he's got the goods.
Uh-huh.
And Psychedelics Kerner. Psychedelics. Say it fast, five times fast. Both of them know their stuff. So we'll be just kind of chatting and spinning that stuff. And then I'm going to do a little, you know, kind of You Bet Your Life quiz show and give out a couple prizes. We'll trivia quiz show. I'll give out a copy of my book, My Kind of Sound, Secret History of Chicago Music Compendium. I will give out a signed copy and some beat up old 60s Chicago garage 45s.
That's fantastic. Right. I love that. I mean, you can't beat that. And you get to meet Steve Krakow, Plastic Crime Wave, at the Hideout.
I will be standing on a stage DJing, which will be awkward fun.
That's who you are. You're awkward fun. That's the Hideout, yes. August 24th. Everyone go check out Mr. Krakow. I love it.
A mere $5 to be privy to that exciting entertainment.
How about that? We're going to go party with you August 24th, man.
All right. Sail on the 15th century morning. Set our course for a land that's yet unseen. Neither one of us had party.
the wrap party for Outside the Loop show number 774, where Colin and I do a little recap of the show, offer some takeaways, and isn't it just amazing how everything is connected when we talk about commercial real estate, industrial real estate? That means that there are big companies or good-sized companies using this industrial real estate, which means that one would think, you know, a good impact on the economy, and that's what AJ was talking about, and it's all connected. I just, you know, sometimes it makes your head spin, Colin. At least it does for me, but we have to keep in mind that, you know, when we talk about one sector, one issue like industrial real estate, there are definitely economic benefits and impacts, and I think we're seeing that. I mean, hopefully that this does pay off, you know?
When was the last time you primed, Mike?
It's been a few weeks since we ordered anything from Amazon Prime.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, but you can get it same day because
I know,
because they are owning all the spots.
He mentioned Melrose Park. AJ mentioned Melrose Park, and not my old stomping grounds, but kind of by my old stomping grounds. I grew up next door in Elmwood Park, and where the old Maywood racetrack used to be, now there is an Amazon fulfillment center. Yeah, and it's huge. Yeah. It's a massive, right, you know, expansive warehouse. I know, and it's, I think it's across the street from the Costco that used to be Kittyland, for those who grew up, Kittyland, little amusement park on North Avenue and First Avenue. And now there's a Costco there. So it's become like an industrial sort of warehousey kind of area. On one hand, it doesn't look great, but what's the economic impact, you know?
They're everywhere. There's one out by my sister-in-law in Palatine. I see all the time. I just think, well, actually, where my head goes when I listen to AJ, when I listen to all this, by the way, AJ is a fantastic reporter.
Yeah, he's great.
And I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure he has, like, also, so, you know, he's doing all this stuff with regards to the real estate market, industrial real estate market, all that kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure he's also been an Amazon fulfillment driver. And like he gets the perspective from everywhere. And I don't know if he was doing it for a particular job or whatever. I think that's true. At least it seemed like it on Twitter. But when he's reporting and he's talking about all this stuff, it makes me think to just, what was it, last week? With regards to those places that he was mentioning that are not getting the love, right? The retail, the traditional brick and mortar, the like malls, the strip malls, all that kind of stuff that are still, they're there, they're built. There's just not anything going on in them. And I think to myself, like, I would think the next logical step is converting those to housing, considering the shortage of housing that we have in the housing stock and supply. And you got, like, again, just trying to think about all the materials out there. You've got these buildings that are already up, as opposed to like demoing them and then doing something else. Like, there's a whole lot of space that's just sitting empty, business parks, whatever. We have no idea how many people are going to be permanently remote or what have you. I don't think it's going to be as much as people are anticipating, but still, I don't know. I think we should turn these spots into housing. And I don't think people are shopping in person anymore. I think there's a few spots that people are going to still do that. And those like days of the giant strip mall should be, I don't know, multi-unit developments. So it's probably got like a perimeter of buildings, right? Some storefronts. I think about that former Best Buy that you can see from the highway in Avondale.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's
right.
I think, what is that supposed to be? What can that be? And then, like, just think about, like, what if that was a unit or many units or what have you? What if you made, like, turn these things into, like, these perimeter shopping, whatever centers that they used to be, into small communities or developments and all kind of stuff? Like, pop a hole in the middle of that parking lot, put some green space. Like, let's go, Mike.
It's an interesting idea. And, of course, I'm sure the city council will move on that because to do that, that would require a change of zoning. And
it's not happening. Yep, it's not happening.
They'll get the Alder people will get right on that. You know?
That's the
unfortunate reality, but I like the idea, you know. What can we repurpose some of these places to make them useful and livable?
We have low housing stock. We should think about ways to increase that.
and then put a little live music square in there, and Julian Daniel can play.
Exactly. A gazebo for every strip mall. Right in the center of the parking lot, Mike.
We figured it out here. I like his music, by the way. I love the backup singers. One day we'll get our own Outside the Loop backup singers, Colin.
Backup singers and backup vocals are what make songs. Why aren't you on harmonica, not a musical guest one of these times? Is that just like the ultimate I love myself move and you're just not going to do it?
Yeah, we'll call that meta. We'll call that very meta.
One of these days...
If a guest bails,
the guest bails are like, I didn't pull a bag and find somebody. And you're just going to like, when can we come back from a rake? It could be like a couple of seconds of silence and then you're just going to pull out the...
See, I'm always ready, Colin. I'm always
ready. It's there. You're just waiting. You're waiting for people to ask for it. That's what it is.
Jenny always says, she's like, you're just waiting for someone to ask, like, oh, you play the harmonica? Do you have one on you? And you'll be like, oh, you know what? I just happen to have one on me.
That's exactly right. When that happens, will the show be done? That's basically like the ultimate moment of the show. That's why you started the show?
Right.
Do you have a radio show? I just happen to have one right here. Yeah, I have a radio show. You do? Do you have a harmonica that you can play on it? I just happen to have that too.
And then scene. And then we're done forever.
Exactly. The show's done.
This episode is done. Colin, let's hear those beautiful vocals from the Black Oil Brothers as we close out the rap party for Outside the Loop, show number 774. Rap party. And that just about does it. Outside the Loop, show number 774 is all wrapped up just for you. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. Thanks to Colin for producing. Thanks to Bob Ferguson for being our engineer. I'll talk to you again next time, right here on Outside the Loop on 720 WGN.